You're listening to a case study on the four Health Plan Alliance member plans that took RapidM for a test drive, presented by Allison Poole and Julia Lambert from Wakely Consulting Group. This session was presented at the February 2017 Risk Adjustment Value Visit.
Wakely has been working on a new product, which is what Allison is talking about today, RapidM. And when a few of our members actually participated in the beta test, and then I know at least one member is already using this tool and recommended it. And then over the course of last year, Wakely kind of introduced it to us. And so we got a sense of what it does with EDPS and RAPS reconciliation. And then Wakely actually offered an opportunity for they offered an opportunity and four plans took them up on the offer to do a kind of a freebie consult engagement, whatever. Alice is going to talk about that. It's going to be super smart. I've been working really hard today. Did I mention that? So the point is that we are very pleased that Wakely agreed to offer a preferred discount to Health Plan Alliance members through our GPO, our group purchasing organization. So that's what that one sheet talks about. It has the details of the offer and the discount and that kind of thing. So for those of you who don't know, who aren't aware, our group purchasing organization, we have contracts with, I think, 14 or 15 companies, and there's a mix. Some we actually do earn administrative fees, which we then pay back to the membership, and then some are straight discounts to the members. And I've mentioned that, you know, we have a number of organizations that are here today that are part of that, and there's a lot of information on our website about that. So if anybody's interested in just learning more about the GPO and what else is available, we're happy to help you navigate to that information more generally. But Wakely is the newest to join that GPO and have an offer for all the member plans. And so we wanted to give them an opportunity to talk about the test run and kind of freebie that they gave to a number of our members over the last quarter, and then to give you all an opportunity to learn more about the product. So, Allison?
So is this working? Y'all can hear me. I have a very soft voice, so I should appreciate microphones, but I don't. So I'm Allison Poole. I work with Wakely Consulting Group. I've been with Wakely Consulting Group since it started. If anyone is old enough and wants to admit that they remember Wakely and Associates, I was part of Wakely and Associates before they split into the different consulting divisions in 1999. So I work with Medicare Advantage, risk adjustment, a lot of large claims, large groups, that kind of thing. So what we're talking about today is risk scores in general. That's what everybody here is really focused on. It's really cool to be around this group of people who is so in the weeds. It's not often I can hear so much talked about this topic from so many people. We have a small group of people in the office who are really focused on this, and we can get together and talk about it, but it's having so many people who know so much is really cool. So you know that, you know, I'm going to go through some quick slides of, you know, the process. You get the diagnosis, the CMS models turn them into HCCs, you get risk scores, and then you get what?
Money.
Money, yeah. So that's really the bottom line, isn't it? That the risk scores are your money. That's what drives your revenue. So that's what I always want to keep in mind is when we're talking about risk scores, we're really talking about your revenue. We're talking about your money. And so that's why it's important. It's not just important that we're correcting things and getting things right. In the end, it's your bottom line. So Rick has already given us a really great overview of kind of how all this happened, and so I won't go through that again, but the RAPS files, these are wonderfully simple files, aren't they? They're just great, and we love these files. So, you know, we got really comfortable with what the RAPS is doing, and then CMS decided they wanted to do this other stuff. So these files, these EDS files, 837i, 837p, they're really complex files. Any of y'all are working with it in the guts, you know that. We started looking at these files in 2015, early 2015. We started digging in heavy in the summer after bid season. And so we don't submit files, so we weren't used to working with these. Some of y'all may have already been working with these since 2012 when they started submitting them. We weren't, so we had to get smart really fast. So you know that this little timeline, and we know through 2017 we're gonna stop there with 2017. We know that in 14 it was 100% RAPS, happy. 15 it was RAPS plus EDS stacked. So if you had diagnoses that were in the EDS data that were not in your RAPS data, you got a little bump. in your final revenue. We'll come back to that idea. So last spring, what happened? We got the beneficiary file. If you work on the bids, then you are familiar with the beneficiary file that the CMS spits out that we have to use for risk scores when we're developing the bids for the next year. So this was the 2015 risk score methodology, spring 2016 for the 17 bids. Whoa, a lot of stuff happened there. So in the Benny file, they have one field for risk scores by the member. And so in this particular year, they used the 15 methodology, which meant they used the RAPS plus EDS. That was the year that you got the bump, right? So they published MA0004. It was the first time they did that. So we said, we got to be able to adjust this risk score. We're projecting what your risk score is going to be in 17. And so we developed this little tool. It was kind of an offshoot of our RapidM product, but the beneficiary file adjustment tool. So if you are a Wakely client, then you probably your actuary probably talked to you or to your management about how we were adjusting your risk score. It wasn't what came out of the beneficiary file. We didn't believe we could use because we felt like it was not accurate. We were going from a stacked risk score that had everything in it to a 90-10 risk score. Actually, no, for a 75-25 risk score in 17. So if your EDS score did not equal, or if your EDS score and your RAP score both did not equal that higher score, then we were going to be off, and we were going to be overshooting what your risk score was. So at that point in time, this is what the data looked like. This is across the Wakely clients. So this was spring 16. So this is before people started really realizing what this EDS stuff was and what it was going to mean to the risk scores. So at that point, for the Part C, our average difference was about 11%. That's EDS over RAP, so the EDS was about 11% lower. The smallest difference was 2.4%. That's not too bad. But the largest was 16.6%. That's a pretty big difference. And then we have the similar numbers over here for Part D. This is a cute little graph, I think. So it just shows graphically how everything was less than one. The EDS was always less than RAPs. So now we've got these risk scores coming out of the Benny file that are way too high, and we have to adjust it. So if you look in this advanced notice for 2018, you'll notice they've got a little section in there that talk about a factor to adjust the risk scores. So we're not sure what's going to be on the Benny file this year, if they follow the prior years and how they've presented the Benny file. This year will be using the 16 methodology, which will be a 90-10 split, which, again, we can't use. So that risk score will need to be adjusted. So if y'all have any comments to CMS about that, you could still do that in the advance notice. So to what Kristen was talking about. So later last year, it was in December, we talked to our friends at HPA and said, we can do this. We would like to do something for the members. And what we offered was a free analysis. We got your MA04s and the RAPS files and your MMRs. And we gave you a little report that said, here's the difference in your RAPS and EDS as we know it. So what this represents is, first, it's what we call group ones. Those are just the people who have been with your plan for a year, so that we've got a full year of data on them. And we can match your risk scores in the MMR. So we can take your RAPs, we can match the MMRs, and they've been with your plan. So this is the most steady group. This is the group that you can have impact on. This is not, so the other groups that we look at but are not in this report are the people who are new to Medicare. That's a group. There's a group that are new to you that you can't impact because they just started with your plan and you don't have history on them, but they've been with Medicare. You know, you like those people. They came from somewhere else. They've got some diagnoses associated with them, but you don't know them yet. So that's what the MA there. So the Part C risk score differential there. So we took had four plans take us up on the offer. Yay! Three plans we felt like we had complete data and were so we aggregated those so that nobody knows who these are. Part C, we had about 2.6% differential between RAPS and EDS. The smallest difference was almost less than half percent, but it was, you know, right at half percent, let's call it. The largest difference, 11.3%, still some work to do there. It didn't give you the median because then you'd kind of know everybody, right? Part D, we did not provide Part D in our reports, so that's new information. If you were one of the plans that received the report, you haven't seen that before. Also, this was based on the second release of the MAO-004s after they came out. Put up here also the this is a Wakely, all the Wakely clients, and put them all together just for comparison. So it kind of seems like at that point in time, the HPA clients are tracking with the global Wakely clients. So these are all of Wakely Medicare Advantage clients. These are not all RapidM clients. These are all the Medicare Advantage clients. So what else can we do? So here we have data. We're actuaries, so that means we're going to do something with the data. You know, I'm in there. I'm talking to my guys before when we were started preparing this, like, what can we do? Some of you have seen our demo of RapidM, and we've expanded it, and we're doing more things with it. And so this is some new stuff that's on it now. So I took advantage of it and got it on our on the slide. So what this is in 2017 they changed the HCC model and split it into some different stratifications. And the ACA actually said they needed to do that because they discovered that the full benefit duals were underrated in risk scores and, you know, things like that. So anyway, we took those different criteria and looked at these three HPA clients are coming in. So for full benefit aged, you're actually pretty almost right on with RAPS and EDS. What's kind of interesting is how the dual disabled and the partial benefits are still off. So there are some other categories, that are not included in here, and this did not necessarily go through the group ones only. So this is just everyone altogether. But this gives you a little bit more information on where you can focus efforts. So that's what we're all about, is trying to figure out how to focus efforts. So then I said, I'm wondering what different plans. So when we gave our report to the HPA members, it was by PBP. So you knew what your end in aggregate. So you know for each PBP what your differential was, and then overall. So I started wondering, what about Part B buy-down plans? So those are the plans where the plan has said, we've got some extra here. What we're going to do is we're going to give some money back. We're going to pay for that Part B premium and try to lure some new members in using that. Those types of plans, generally to do that, you'll have a higher cost sharing end. So you have more higher copays, something like that. So you end up getting a lower risk score in there because you generally have healthier people. So the reason I was curious about that is, so if you have a lower risk score, there's going to be fewer diagnoses and fewer HCCs. So is that going to impact the risk score differential? Because now you just have fewer diagnoses that you're submitting for that class. So for all that long-winded stuff, it wasn't a huge difference, but so the regular is means that's the non-Part B buy-down people. And it is a little bit higher. And with each point, that's your different, that's revenue lost. Right? So that means that there may be some reason to kind of focus on the regular plans. Maybe on the SNP plans, but really on those regular plans and making sure that you're getting all the diagnoses there. So another thing we looked at, so I'm going to jump around a little bit here. So the filtering logic, I think we've heard some people talk about the filtering logic. So actually in the Medicare Managed Care Manual, it does prescribe the filtering logic for RAPS. But what happens with that filtering logic is the MAOs take that description and run it against their data before they submit it to CMS. So actually what you're submitting to CMS is a subset of your data that you have already determined is HCC eligible or RAPS eligible. For EDS, you're submitting everything. They run it through all their checks and everything, and then their filtering logic. So what we wanted to know was, what's the difference? Is that having an impact? So not only, you know, are claims just not getting through, but is the filtering logic doing anything? So we actually have a white paper out there. You can go to our website and see that. It's a cool paper, very cool paper, I think. But I'm an actuary, so you know. I didn't write it. So what we found is, or what they found, is that the professional is the big hitter in the differential in the risk scores. In the filtering logic, the way the filtering logic is coming through. So does that surprise you? It didn't surprise me. Because when you think about it, the hospitals kind of already know, and CMS is already comfortable with what the hospitals are doing, the inpatient and outpatient. It's the physicians that we're going out there and we're training them how to code the diagnoses. Now we're going out there and training them how to make sure they've got the CPT codes on there. So it's the physicians are really more of the wild card, even though they may be more of your money. So that wasn't really a surprise to me. It really validated what I would have expected if I had thought through it, which I hadn't really, but once I saw this, it made sense. So we did make sure that we normalized for all the plans and everything. So this was strictly filtering logic, and then we also looked at the 2014 and 17 HCC models. No, not a big difference. So the advance notice. I already mentioned the 75% RAPS, 25% RAPS, 25% EDS is being repeated again in 18. They didn't say about 19 and 20. So I could logic it either way, that they'll go 50-50 or stick with the 25-75 in 19 and go 100% in 2020. I'm kind of betting they'll move it up to at least 2021, but I don't know.
My money's with you, too.
You think so?
I like your theory.
Yeah. So this was I'm not sure that people really noticed this memo. You noticed it because of the EDS deadline, that was mentioned also, the 29th of December, that the, EDS deadline. But what was also in there is the mid-year risk score is going to be based on RAPS only. And if you didn't notice that, you need to look at that. Because if your EDS score is not up to your RAPS, when you get your final risk score for 2017, it will change, and probably not in the way you want it to. So if you are used to, when those final sweeps come through, getting extra money, if your EDS risk score is lower, you'll automatically lose money. It might not be a payable, but it'll be lower. So what does all this mean? We got all this stuff we're presenting to CMS now. It's a lot more data. It's not just a little bit more data. It's a lot more data. There's multiple stages of editing. CMS looks, you get the MAO-002s, you get 277s. They tell you all the details about errors that, there's just the functional errors that wouldn't have gotten through the data anyway, and then there's the errors at CMS, and then there's the filtering logic change. So you've got lots of stuff happening in these files. But the other thing that's happening is CMS is getting a whole bunch more of your data. So what might they do with the data? So we know what three of the files are. They've reserved these seven file names. So three of the names are MAO-001, 002, and 004. We know what all those are. The 001 is a subset of 002, so it's just the inpatient stuff. It doesn't matter because it's in 002, 004. We have a love-hate relationship there. And the other four files are things about claims data, utilization data. So what are they going to do with this stuff? Again, my theories. First, I think there could be some utilization verification, at least in the bids. If you work with the bids at all, which we do, so that's why I get focused on that. In the PDE data we use, or for Part D bids, we use the PDE data. It's very standardized. I could see them going down that road with some of the EDS data that we have to use that for the utilization. They can do a lot more review, that kinds of thing. Also, just a little, maybe not a little thing, but the eventually, another theory out there is that it'll move to the basis of the risk scores rather than being the fee-for-service data, being the EDS data, because it makes sense. But now you've got all this data, and now you have opportunity. So what does that mean? So like I said, we started looking at this data in 2015. And we started thinking, how did we want to use this data? If we were a plan, how would we want to use this data going forward? And what could we do with this data? So we looked at the universe of your EDS data and started with that. We had Venn diagrams all over the place. Here's this part, it was great. But again, I'm an expert. So you've got this universe of data, and out of that data, we know what your maximum risk score is. We know. So that was our first premise, is we know that. And from there, we'll take away what CMS says has to be filtered out. Everything else, if it doesn't get through, it's some sort of error. And it's fixable. Not every claim is worth fixing. There are claims that will have a bigger impact on your risk scores, which means what?
More dollars.
That's right. It means the money. So that was our premise. The other premise, The other premise is this is the first time we've had anything to compare to RAPs. Every time I heard one of my clients talking about their vendors, they'd say, well, they're matching the RAP, they're matching the CMS, so it's good. No. They need to be matching to your universe. This is where your potential money is. Not that I can match to CMS. See, that means that there are claims that you have not submitted because you filtered them out. So this data gives you a chance to look at the RAPS data differently. So if you've been through, some of you have been through the demo that we have, and we have buckets of errors. If you're in statistics, we started out using statistical terms and figured that was a bad idea, so we took those names out. But there, we have error. And some of the errors are just that. They're in EDS. They're in EDS after filtered. They're not in RAPs. Those are claims that you can go after to improve your RAPs score. Well, then we also have, of course, it got filtered into out through your 277s, it got filtered out through your MAO002s. So we know that there's an error at the base claim, we know that there's an error, what CMS thinks there's an error, all those different kinds of errors. But then we go through and say, which on both sides, which are worth fixing? You know, if I've got... I don't know what level you all have that goes out and fixes the claim. We don't submit claims. We don't do any submission. So what we do is help find this stuff. And from talking to clients, the person who's out there fixing this is not necessarily one of the people in this room. It may be somebody who works for you, or it might be a vendor that you are outsourcing it to. But you can find those claims and tell them where to go fix, what to fix. Spend your time doing these claims. Don't spend your time on claims that are not going to have an impact on revenue. So rejection rates may be deceptive. Your vendor tells you you have a 2% rejection rate. What does that mean? You need to know what those claims are and what is being rejected. You don't know if those are the claims with the diagnosis codes that are meaningful. So knowing what is actually being submitted is in your best interest. Finding out what is going out. So checking with vendors, verifying what they've got. Ooh, I don't want to go there. Everything disappeared. So I guess, you know, and has this theory worked for us going through this, here's your universe? I heard a great story earlier this week. We had an installation in January with a RapidM with one of our, they're a Medicare Advantage client. And they bought RapidM. So what happens is they send us 837s, 277s, MA002s, MA004s, reps, and MMRs. And we do about a bunch of stuff to it. And we send back a database and a front end. So you own the data and you own the front end. And then we had an on-site training. 2 days later, a follow-up call. They had already found claims enough to justify the price of the product at 150%. They'd already paid for the product plus 50%. So, you know, it's a success. And generally what we do is we refresh. We recommend quarterly. That's, you know, kind of at the client's discretion how they want to refresh the data. But it does take time to process and things like that. We had one of our early clients. So this is kind of goes against the white paper that we had a client early on who was very close already. And they worked with us on lots of different pieces of RapidM. Their EDS score was 98.5% of the RAP score. So they were just almost there. Now they're within 1%. And you know, every time you do that, you have just saved your company money. It's the revenue. So what we have back here, this is some stuff that's been mentioned here. There's the EDS RAPS user calls. All this stuff is incredibly important. We've got people who are listening on all these calls and making sure that we're staying up on all the pieces. So the MA004s, it's a very sad thing, isn't it? I mean, gosh. Just when we thought we were in a happy place, you know, we're going to do a third phase. But the good thing about this is it doesn't sound like the phase three is going to be a humongous change. We're not expecting a big payable out of it. At least that's what we hope. But it is an issue. But for us, we're trying not to hold up any processes for this. So we had the four HPA members who did the first round of free reporting, and we've re-presented that, that offer, and we have four more. And I suspect if there's somebody else in here who hadn't responded yet who wants to, we could probably work it out. I'm looking back at my present to see if I'm getting a yes or no. I'm not getting anything, so I'll go for it. But we're not waiting for the third round of these to do these reportings. Don't think it's worth it. We think it's important to be able to review what's going on in your risk scores now. So another issue about the risk scores, if we go back to some of these differentials, it has to do with the RAPs. Is you've got this comparison, but if your RAPs and EDS, especially for these guys who were really close back here when we were working on BFAT. The other thing to think about is you can be very proud of your differential there, and you can be telling upper management that we're within 2.4%. But are you within 2.4% of your RAP score, or are you within 2.4% of the universe potential? You know, and I would submit that I would bet those people are within 2.4% of RAPs. Well, actually, I know that. But they're going to be more than that off of when they look at their universe. And that's the, I'll sit on calls and I'll think, it's the universe, look at the universe, it's the RAPs, it's everything. So sorry if I get a little weird about that. But so that's really kind of our big, we appreciate the the time that HPA had, the people who decided to work with us on this, and yeah.
Yeah, I think you've made a lot of great points, and just to reiterate a couple of things, when we looked at it, we were really working the EDPS errors to get that, you know, data leakage down as much as we could. And we did see, you know, significant improvement, and we did do the pilot with you, which also helped to show us where we were. But one of the things we also did, like some of the other plans that reviewed right before this, we looked at the outliers on both sides, EDPS and RAPS. And we went back and we retooled our RAPS to get some of those records that were being accepted on the EDPS side, as long as they still met all the other filtering conditions on RAPS. So we pushed a number of those through, which, once again, even though we got our, you know, percentage down, when you talk about universes, like you said, versus RAPS, we know our amount data leakage is going to go up because we pushed a lot through RAPS that tie to EDPS, but not all those EDPS records were being accepted because we had other errors that went along the way. So we decided to go after the, where we had the biggest bang for the buck, which was on a 90% side. And now, since we have May till May, we're still chasing, you know, the rest of those errors. And we have, you know, strong reports together that show us, here are the EDPS that tie to HCCs and which ones, so we can prioritize and go after those before we go after the non-ones. So I just wanted to reiterate that for the group. But then my question to you is, because I just started looking at this, and I'm sure there's plans out there that are a lot more sophisticated and, you know, on top of this than I. But as you mentioned, we went to a new HCC model where we have all these, you know, dual eligibles full versus all the different partials. And I know our plan has around 2,500 members that are dual eligible. Out of that, I think we have close to, you know, like 350 that are dual right now. But what I, and I know because of the payment structure, I'm going to get paid a lot more on those full duals, but I'm going to take a big hit on the ones that are partials.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is I want to find out how many of those partials could really be full duals, but the work has never been done by anybody to push them there. Has anybody done that type of work yet?
Yes. I've got plans who actually have departments who work with anybody who comes in as partial, or they, you know, anything. They work with them on the paperwork. It's actually, you know, I have plans with departments who work who understand that, exactly that, that the partial isn't going to do you good. You want the full dual.
Do you have any numbers on, you know, like financial dollars, what that may be to plans, or any type of estimates that we could? Because I want to take it back once again to my CFO and ask him and beg for resources to, you know, work this.
Well, so I think the numbers that you probably need are how many of those people can you expect to move into partial dual to full dual, and I don't have that, but I know that on the, you know, from the risk scoring model, you've got a 20% swing right there in the risk score. So, I mean, 8% swing in the risk score or projected. So, I'll have to think about that if I've got data on what percentage of partial might really be full dual. That's an interesting question. Think about it. I think one of the thing, if you are working with a vendor, so it's one thing if you are doing all this in house. I think then, on the one hand, some of the features that RapidM brings actually make a lot of sense. But it also makes sense if you have vendors. I've talked to some plans who have multiple vendors, so they're feeding them different information. Multiple vendors doing different parts, and in that situation, having something that brings everything together into one space. You know, we don't submit anything. We don't get paid by the claim. We are taking your data, and we are finding your universe and finding out what is the best place to spend your time fixing. Which are the claims that are going to give you the diagnoses that are going to have an impact on your HCCs or on your risk scores, the impactful HCCs. And that's what we have found from the clients who, you know, have had given us these stories, is, you know, we were able to get to those claims that made a difference, and quickly. And that's, yes.
I have two follow-ups. One, there were a couple of notations on there in your slides that you excluded egg whips. Was right. there any real difference in results of the egg whips versus the non? Because we have some pretty large egg whip populations that we
So on this, I just decided that it was better to have the straight individual Medicare advantage. When the egg whips were looking a little different, but off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was looking a little different, so I felt like it was better to exclude them for these slides.
Okay. And then I wanted to just give a plug to another part of your organization. We've used the regular rapid analytics for ACA last year, and it worked out very well. And I wanted to ask you, is that kind of similar in, you know, looking for, you know, diagnostic information and missing information versus what you're doing?
Yeah, the concept is the same, and that's how we ended up with Rapid Name. That was actually, you know, we thought we were going to be much more straight line rapid, just with the Medicare twist, if you will. And the files that come out for Medicare are different. So, but it is the same theoretical concept on what we're doing. Yeah, we've kind of diverged, taking some roads less traveled, just because of the way Medicare works. You know, we're working. We have if you haven't seen a demo recently, we now can get down to the member level and what the so if you. If you can tell, we can tell you if you fix this type of claim, what is going to be the revenue impact. So we have the filters on there, so you can slice and dice and figure out what, you know, you know what the impact is going to be once you with RapidM. You can see on the by member what the impact is going to be. It's that was kind of our last big push to get that in there. So like I said, if you haven't seen a demo recently, you ain't seen a demo.
So. Other questions for Allison? Well, thank you. Thank you very much.